If you're new to the class, just a reminder, we try to have coffee in the back. I don't know if we had enough today. We're working on that and some refreshments, but it is good to have you. Just to mention, next week, my plan is to begin to start considering the process of biblical change. In these first few weeks, we've just done some introductory things and hit on some just different issues just for the sake of making sure we're thinking the same on things that I think are helpful. We'll continue that today. And then, again, next week, the plan is to start talking about what is the process for biblical change. Here's another caution, another warning, and it's easy to say things that we wish someday we hadn't, okay? And we just want to be careful. And so I know that most of you would say, I would never do that. Don't give legal advice. We're talking about biblical counseling. Biblical counseling. Don't give legal advice unless you're trained for this purpose. Unless you're trained. You say, well, where might I give legal advice? Well, there's different possibilities. And problem in a class like this, most certainly I won't hit the one that you might have to face. But here's some potential if you're dealing with somebody that's in a divorce situation. Maybe you were divorced, maybe in another state, or maybe you weren't, but you know somebody well that was, and you understand the legal process that they went through, and you might transfer your knowledge of that to this new situation that may or may not apply. And so somebody calls me and they say, well, if I separate, will that provide protection? Well, it depends on the state that you're in. And divorce, their implications, and child custody. I mean, you guys, it gets complicated. And just because you know somebody that somehow that worked out in a particular way doesn't mean it applies to your situation. If somebody asks you for legal advice, what's the best thing to do? Okay, I'm not sure exactly what that was. But I'm going to assume that we all said, encourage them to get legal counsel. If they need legal counsel, let them go to appropriate resources for legal counsel. Don't be that legal resource for them. Our objective is biblical guidance, and we want to stay on course, okay, with biblical guidance. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped to every good work. That's where we're staying, folks. Okay, in biblical counseling, our objective is to use God's word to minister to the needs of people. But I'm telling you, it's easy to get sidetracked with any number of miscellaneous issues. And so my next one, it's possible I'm going to step on toes. Okay? But I'm going to talk about it because I think it's important. And I think in the church, it's easy to get carried away in some arenas that we know better and we shouldn't. And so here it is. Don't give medical advice unless you're trained for this purpose. Oh, boy. Now, let me say this. If someone talks to you, and they're on medication for depression, panic attacks, anxiety, or any number of things, do not say that Countryside Bible Church opposes medication and you should do everything that you can to get off that medication. Don't say that we say that, because we don't say that. All right? We're not doctors. We're to give biblical advice, and if somebody comes in on medication, frankly, I'm not going to be concerned about their medication as much as I am the spiritual issues at hand. And that's what I want to address. Adjustments on medication can be made by appropriate sources that can manage and monitor that. You guys, to tell somebody that they need to, in order to be spiritual, they have to get off their medication, compounds an already difficult situation. Plus, you might find you tell somebody that they need to get off it, and their body, they've been on it so long that they cannot properly function without it. And you can have really bad things happen. Okay? We're talking about biblical counsel and biblical guidance. And then if somebody feels a need to reduce what it, they need to talk to their doctor and make sure that that would be a wise thing. You guys, there's other situations, frankly. If somebody's on medications for a particular disease, those medications can trigger other realities that have to be treated. That's part of the challenge of living in a fallen world. So don't jump into that. And don't give advice that you can't be confident of. And the confident, you can be confident of the advice that the Scriptures give. And so we're going to focus on spiritual issues and spiritual challenges and then help them to think and to live spiritually. But you got to be careful of some of these other things. They can be quite the challenge. So while I'm already out there, I want to address... I want to address another issue that's a little more personal to me, because many of you know that my first wife is with the Lord. Some of you may not know that. She suffered chronic illness for decades before the Lord took her home. And so we lived in that world of everyday physical challenge. Every day. Extremely complicated medical issues. And there were people in the church and in this church that ministered to us in amazing ways through the entire time, for which I'm eternally grateful. But there are a lot of well-meaning Christians that have very simplistic answers to complicated problems, who would come up with good intentions and say, "Have you ever just tried eating this? Or not eating that? Or trying this lotion, potion, drink, whatever it is." And you guys, I could not even tell you how many times that happened to us. It was pretty constant. And if I told you some of them, frankly, they were gross. Some of them were so unreasonable, it was just unimaginable that somebody would even share it. Most of them, you could go online and do a brief amount of research and know that it had absolutely nothing to do with my wife's physical condition. And so when you do that, it betrays an obvious lack of understanding of the complexity of some people's health situations. And it really marginalizes it. Like if I just stop eating this or start eating that or start drinking. You guys, a lot of that stuff is to help healthy people stay healthy. People who have complicated, challenging, believe me, they're pursuing already every recourse that they can find to deal with their physical issues. And so to come to church, in fact, finally, for us, I had to tell my wife, when somebody brings you another idea, because it's so hard, because it does, I mean, it was complicated, and it killed her, okay? We're going to all die. That's the reality. There was nothing, that was in God's sovereign plan. But when somebody comes with it's how do you respond to that? If you just eat this, have you tried this? I'm telling you, if I told you some of them, you go, no. So I had to tell her, when they come to you, please ask them to come to me and give it. I wasn't going to be mean. Just give it to me. I will do the research. And if it's something that's of value, I will tell you. Otherwise, you don't have to be concerned about it at all. That's how much it happened. Now, before this class, I talked to some of the chronically ill people that are in our church to ask them how they feel when people come up and give them well-intentioned health advice. And they, the ones that I spoke with, said they would prefer not. They don't find it helpful. What they find helpful is people that come up and say, "I love you. I'm praying for you. Here's some verses I've been thinking about for you." Card with verses. Not health advice. Okay? So I would just recommend that you be careful. Okay? That you be careful. And then when you're ministering to people or counseling or trying to encourage, that you just remember Christian first. And there are people that seem more passionate. I'm not saying everybody, but there's some people that seem more passionate about whatever it is that they have than they are about the gospel. But you guys, it's the gospel, and it's the good news of God's word that brings encouragement and strength and help in those days. No, I mean, you need to be prayerful in offering scripture and just thoughtful. But again, most people that do that, seems like, at least my experience is, it's been helpful. I mean, it's certainly more helpful. And it just ministers to the heart. That's what ministers to the heart in the midst of difficult situations. So for what it's worth, and to not complicate things, I just put the same verses. This is what we're about. Eric? Well, I would just encourage them to go back and make sure that they're careful. And if they're uncomfortable with a particular doctor, go to a different one. But you have to. It depends on the medication. Okay, a lot of it depends on Medicaid, what it's for and why and how much. Some medications, if you're on, you know, I mean, they can. There's all kinds of complications. I'm not a doctor. We have doctors in here. If you want medical advice, I'll refer you. These other ones should be easy after that. I hope that's helpful. And if you hear people in the church that kind of do that, you just might caution them gently. Be careful. These people are, I mean, they're dealing with life and death issues, you know, so you can encourage people just to be wise. All right, in counseling, remember your limitations. Remember your limitations. And one of the first quotes I gave was by Jay Adams. It was something to the effect that, it was speaking to believers who are growing in the walk with the Lord, every person will counsel somebody at some time about something, but not every believer should counsel everybody about everything, okay? Because you can get into some really complicated situations. So Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors there is victory. Or in Proverbs 15:22 it says, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors they succeed. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking to just randomly talk to a lot of people. So it's speaking of counselors, and it's speaking of wisdom, people that are committed to the truths of God's word that would be good resources. But by way of illustration, you know, if somebody comes to you and they have serious drug problems or serious alcohol problems, scripture speaking of drunkenness or lack of sobriety, you know, their issues may be substantial enough that they have some biological dependence. And sometimes if somebody's been drinking for 20, 30, 40 years, oftentimes since teenage years, you may need additional help. We use a place in Atlanta. When I say a place, it's a man, godly man that God delivered from substance abuse, who is committed to the truth of God's word, and he takes a few guys at a time and he just disciples them over a period of months to help them. So you might need resources beyond yourself. So you have to use good judgment in that sense. And if you need help, you need to go to appropriate resources for help, so it doesn't just become an opportunity to tell other people things that they ought not to know. You know, it's possible you get into a marriage issue. Even in that casual, you're talking to somebody and ideas of abuse come up, or the potential I'm going to leave my spouse, where you say, man, I need some wisdom, okay, to know how to handle a difficult situation. Or certainly if there's child abuse involved. I mean, those are just weighty, hard things. And understand that even in the office, you know, if I'm meeting and grappling with complicated issues, you know, I'll go talk to Tom and say, hey, let me just explain what's going on. This is what I'm thinking. This seems appropriate to help them. But we want to make sure that we're being careful and wise and appropriate in the things that we do. And so just be careful. Be really cognizant of the fact that God may use you some, but you may need other. Yeah, exactly. You know, I talked about confidentiality. You don't want to just talk about things, but there is an appropriate place to get wise help. But you just got to understand that's wise help, and you're going for good, godly purposes in the pursuit of giving biblical counsel. Okay, so you have to be discerning in that process. We've talked about this next one just a little bit. Let me touch on it once more. Just remember, focus on counseling. Focus your counseling on the person who comes to you. Because oftentimes the person who comes to you, they're coming because of an issue that they might have with somebody else. So let me kind of randomly illustrate that. It's kind of dangerous to do random things, but, you know, here we go. Lady comes into the office, and she's struggling in a difficult marriage. And her husband is, you know, he goes to church and faithful and all of that as far as attendance, but, you know, the way he's living and the way he treats her does not demonstrate biblical leadership, right? And she's pouring this out. She's talking about he does this, does that, doesn't do this, doesn't do that, you know, watches this, shouldn't let you know. And so she can sit there and talk to you for an hour about all of the bad things. And then you can respond with, oh, he's kind of a jerk. Man, I can't even believe it. I mean, I've seen him at church. I thought he was fine. Wow, I can't even believe he does that. I mean, he needs to change. That man needs to become a godly leader. I mean, don't you agree? Yeah, I agree. That's exactly what I'm saying. Somebody needs to do it. And somebody needs to, you know, and you can talk like that all day long, and he doesn't hear a word of it. He doesn't hear a word of it. But you can stir it up. And you have this person in front of you that you have to help in the midst of a difficult situation. And so, on one hand, you're thinking, well, hopefully we can impact that man. But you guys, I don't know if we'll be able to or not. I don't know. Hope so. But I do know that I can help this lady to have a biblical perspective in the midst of a very difficult and sometimes miserable life situation, so that she doesn't become overwhelmed with the circumstances of life, lose sight of the fact that God is sovereign, can accomplish His purpose. And at the same time, I want to and I'm hopeful that I'll be able to one day impact that man. But I don't know if he'll come in. And maybe I can chase him down. I mean, who knows? I don't know. You're hopeful, but you got to be able to work and make sure you're helping that person who is in front of you to think biblically, even in the midst of difficult circumstances of life. Now, we'll talk about that in more. You know, when we once we work through a biblical process of change, we'll throw out kind of a counseling type situation, and then we'll talk about a process that you might go through to help somebody as you're working through some of those challenging things. Just keep in mind, there's like 1,000 variations of everything, right? So we'll do the best to kind of work through some basics. Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to a wise man and he will still be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase his learning. So that person that comes in, if they have an interest in spiritual things, which you may find when you begin to talk to them, it may be that as you begin to talk to them about, hey, here's how God can help you to think right in the midst of this, that they may go, huh? I didn't come here hear about how I can think better in the midst of this. I came here because I want him to be dealt with. You know, who gets like that? But hopefully this person that's come to you is coming because they want to grow in wisdom and know how to biblically respond. But you guys, I told you before, expectations coming into counseling, they can be pretty different. Okay, may not always be what you expect and would hope. Proverbs 19:20, listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. And so we're hopeful again that in providing that it will be, you guys, there's some people that are going to live in difficult situations the rest of their lives. I mean, I know we like the fairy tale stuff. You turn on a show and it starts out good, kind of goes south for a while, and then it ends great. Hey, did you hear Tom up there this morning? Sin. So I can't just tell somebody, oh, you know, this is going to all... I don't know. I know that you can learn to think right and be biblical even in the midst of a difficult situation. And should God leave you in this, then you can be faithful to the end in serving Him in the midst of a difficult situation. And frankly, if you go to 1 Peter 2, God says that's actually a great place to be. If you're in a really difficult, unfair situation, that's a great place to be a godly testimony. We'll talk about that one later. So if they're coming in and they really want to learn, and sometimes, I'm just telling you, sometimes they do, and sometimes they're just not necessarily that interested. There may be more complicated issues, things that you weren't aware of. Be a great listener, like God is to us. Be a great listener. Have you ever had somebody ask you a question? And people that are really sick, they face this often. Somebody will come up and say, well, how are you doing right now? And for the person that has chronic illness, that's like a no-win situation. Okay? It's a no-win situation. Because if you say, I'm doing good, then you're probably lying. So that's not good. But most people are not really wanting to hear, I feel awful. So that doesn't usually work very good. And so you try to do something like, I'm fine. What does that mean? Well, it's just kind of middle ground that just kind of satisfies the casual person who's asking the question. Because really, if you start going into, well, honestly, this last week, you know, I mean, this is the first time I've been out of bed. And you know, it's hard for people to even know how to deal with that. And so, you know, people with chronic problems, you will find that they're very selective in who they really answer that question to. Because I'm not saying it to be mean, but a lot of people, they're busy, and they don't even know how to respond when somebody talks about living a life that is day-to-day incredibly challenging. All right? But even a general conversation, you know, maybe somebody, and you're talking to them, and they say, so how's your job going? Because they know that things have been kind of challenging. So maybe I ask Dad, how's the job going? And then he starts to describe, well, you know, I'm in the car and the sales and haven't been going so great. And da-da-da-da-da. And he sees me glancing over his shoulder. You ever been there? You might ask somebody a question and they're answering. And you know, maybe it has been kind of a challenging week and they're kind of trying to describe it. And the next thing they see is your eyes going right past them. What does that tell them? Whatever that was, I think you're right. You know? You guys, it is so easy for all of us to do that. It's just easy. We're busy. We're distracted. We have a lot of responsibilities, so we're running here and there and everywhere. And have you ever been talking to somebody, well, you're listening and they're talking, and then all of a sudden your mind kind of wakes up and you realize that they're talking to you, but your mind's been somewhere else and you have no idea what they just said. Okay, how many done that? Okay, that's good. Put it down. We got the picture. It's easy to do. I mean, it's easy to do. We're busy. Our minds can wander, and we can be thinking about other things. You guys, our Lord is so kind. Psalm 4:3, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. How precious is that to you? How precious is that? The Lord actually hears? Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. 1 Peter 4, it says, we can cast all our anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for us. Because he cares. He listens to us. And you guys, here's the irony with God. Is he already knows, so he doesn't even have to listen to us. You know what I mean? He knows it, but he wants us to understand that he cares about the details of our life. Psalm 139 is incredible. I know when you stand up. I know when you sit down. I know your thoughts. I know the words that will come out of your mouth before you speak them. The knowledge of God is pretty amazing. But you guys, being a listener is so, so very important. And so if you're an impatient person, you're going to struggle giving biblical counsel because you're going to struggle even knowing what the issues might be. A great listener will ask questions. they'll ask questions. I was looking at the way our Lord asked questions in the Scriptures. And you guys, there's scores of them. You know, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? He has tons of questions. If you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than the others? Why do you worry about clothes? Do you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? I mean, he's just always asking questions. He's always asking questions of people. Oh, remember the the woman that he met? He asked her about her husband. You know, that was a pretty revealing question that he asked. You know, for us, I think asking questions that are just helpful in the context of knowing somebody is wise. I told you before, when somebody comes in, I know it's a different situation when they come into the office, but you guys, when they come into the office, I don't want you to say, what's the problem? Here's the answer. You know, hang on. Verse 3, 8, and 9. Those are yours. Okay? Call me in a week. I want to know them best I can. And I'll be the first to admit, in a church this size, that is painfully difficult. Painfully difficult. But I do. If somebody comes in and I only have seen them casually, I want to ask. I want to know about their life. Where did you grow up? Where are your parents? You have siblings. I just want to get to know them a little bit. The context of their life that brings them up to now. Because if they're coming to my office, it's usually because something really hard is happening. That's usually why they come in. I don't have too many people that come in and say, Rock, just came in to say, hey. Mm-mm. Weighty, hard things. I want them to know that I care about them, you guys. So I'm going to ask questions. And then when they start sharing the challenges, I typically don't want to just respond because I don't know if I've really learned or understand either the issue or the magnitude or if there are other related issues. And you guys, I'm not a very, very smart guy in a lot of respects. I can't just, you know, pick up pieces and say, I got it. And so I'd rather ask more questions and learn more and try to understand and have a heart that can sympathize and care for this person. And then begin to consider how God's Word so beautifully addresses the challenges of life. Jesus was so, wasn't he a master at that as he interacted with people? I mean, the fact that God came in the flesh is unbelievable. I mean, it's just, come on. And then he would so carefully and lovingly interact with folks in his ministry. And yeah, I know he was pretty pointed with some, but you guys, that was even out of kindness and grace because they weren't getting it. I mean, he was demonstrating himself in so many ways, they weren't getting it. I know that you benefit from the fact that the Lord knows you. And the Lord loves you. And so when you're ministering to somebody else, you want to try to know them best you can. Obviously not like the Lord, but in a way that would show genuine care. Remember, church attendance is very important. Now you might think, where did that come from in the midst of these? Oftentimes when people are in the middle of difficulty, ironically, if they're people that come to the church, ironically, you'd be amazed how often, if life gets more and more difficult, that they will back away from Christian friends and they will back away from the church. The very things they should be clinging to. You come to the church, you depend on Christian friends to help, and you cling to the Lord. But in the midst of difficulty, you'd be amazed how many people pull back from those things. And you guys, if we're going to give biblical guidance, you need to understand one of the priorities for a believer is to be in the church. And I don't mean just any church. Because sometimes I have people that come from other churches in because they have challenges and they want to meet. And you guys, they may not be going to a Bible teaching church at all. Well, it's not real helpful if I say, you just stay faithful in that not Bible teaching church you're going to. But I might have to be careful to help them to understand and see the difference. All right? But certainly within the context of the church, you guys, you're fighting an uphill battle if you're trying to give Christian counsel, but they're not even coming to church. They're not sitting under the teaching of the Word. They're not fellowshipping with other believers. They're not worshiping in music. They need to be here. If they truly want help, they need to begin practicing the things that demonstrate biblical Christianity. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need to be under Bible teaching. We need to be in fellowship, and there's an accountability that comes with being a part of the church. And of course, ultimately in the Christian life, we've got to be involved in service and ministry. Those things are all a part. So if somebody wants biblical counsel, but they don't want to come to the church, they don't want biblical counsel. It's simply not true. Because if they want biblical counsel, that would indicate that they're willing to come under the authority of the Scriptures to be obedient to God in the basic areas of life to be able to address whatever the other issues that they're facing. It's really, it's essential. I'm going to say the easiest answer to that is pride, okay? I mean, there may be any other related issues to that, but you guys, the bottom line is anytime God says this is the way it is, and I say, but I'm an exception, for whatever reason, the issue is what? Pride. It has to be pride. In Proverbs 8:13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. Pride and arrogance. Independent living. That's pride and arrogance, right? Independent living. Kind of doing it the way that I want. And that's not what God, how God instructs us. We need to be so careful. I remember you guys as a kid, you know, you'd be impressed with this because this is like 35 years ago. Probably. I had a kid in a youth group. I was a youth pastor for many, many years. And it's interesting because this kid brought another kid named Brian Murphy that some of you know because he's been able to speak in our church and men's things and retreats and stuff. It was the friend that actually brought Brian Murphy to the youth group. Brian got saved and Brian's a pastor today. But the young man that brought him, I remember the day that we were talking and he really liked some music that he knew was dishonoring to the Lord. And what he told me was, but this is the only thing that I do that dishonors the Lord. In other words, I'm not letting it go. He is far from the Lord as far as you can even imagine. And even from that time on, I told him, you can't do that. I mean, that's not biblical Christianity. It's if God says something and I differ, God's always right, I'm always wrong. Submit. I love that song that the ensemble is saying, bow the knee. Bow the knee. You guys, we can't. There's not pick and choose Christianity. There's just not. Remember, assignments are generally a useful part of counseling. Otherwise, you might find that you're the only one doing the work. Okay? And so here's the deal. When you're meeting with somebody, I'm sorry, it's hard to see over there. I tried to get out of your way. You guys, oftentimes, again, when somebody's going through struggles, one of the things they put aside, reading, studying the Bible, meditation on the God's Word, because they're just so focused on whatever the challenge or the problem is. I would illustrate like this. When you go through difficult times, your trial, if we could just illustrate this as a trial, in the midst of a trial, you can bring that trial so close that it's all you see and all you think about. It's right here. Well, what we want to do is help them to push it back, get it into a biblical perspective, so it's still the same size. It's still the same size, but I can see you guys now. Whoa! Other people. And you know, guys, biblical Christian, we're trying to help people to push the trials back, see them as God sees them, and not lose out on the personal responsibility to continue to grow in the midst of trials. I often say, don't waste your pain. If you're going to go through the trials, man, learn from them, grow. Why waste them? Make a difference in somebody else's life. But you got to get the trial back so you can see. And you guys, in order to do that, you've got to get back into the Word of God. And you've got to begin reading. And you've got to begin Philippians. And again, we'll talk about this when we talk more specific counseling. You know, when Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say what? Like we didn't get it the first time in a short verse? What is that telling us? You guys, we're so quick to forget all that God's done. And so we want to help people to get into the Word of God where they have that love and delight in the Word of God. Scripture memory, I think, can be huge because you have the Word in your mind and your heart all the time, so it can constantly be churning and churning. And I know some people say, well, I'm so old, I just can't memorize anymore. And it's like, well, can you still drive? Really? I think sometimes we excuse ourselves. Okay, you may not be able to do as much, but take a little, even take a portion of a verse and memorize it. Ephesians 5, be imitators of God. Stop there and meditate on that for a while. Just hold it in. See what I'm saying? I just think so often our culture is lazy. And we got to be careful. So scripture memory, I think, can be a huge help. Self-evaluation, 2 Corinthians 13:5, test yourselves. You want to make sure that you're part of the household of faith. I mean, a person who pulls back and stays or has stayed pulled back from Christianity for many years, I don't know whether they're saved or not, but there's a point that you got to evaluate that. Or if they've been involved in sinful patterns of life for extended periods of time, you got to work through some of that. We're going to talk about putting off and putting on, those things that come with biblical change. So we'll get to all of those things in the days ahead. Okay, this one's kind of offensive too, since I'm trying to pack them all into one lesson. Okay, if you talk to somebody who's involved in legalism, yeah, you know, you got to wear clothes this way, and you can only listen to this music, and you can only, you know, and they set standards higher than God's Word sets them. Okay, they set them higher, and you ask them, is it better to set the standards higher than God says them? Now, when I say that, I mean they're my standards, and I believe they should be your standards. I mean, it's fine if I want to say, no, I'm not going to do that or this or whatever, because that's going to help me in my walk with the Lord. It's when I set these higher standards higher, and I believe everybody else should share my standards, even though they're higher than God's standards. Is it more sinful to set them too high or too low? That was a fine answer. Yes. Either way is sinful. Don't misunderstand. If for my personal walk, I know I'll be able to better honor the Lord if I'm more careful over here and don't do this, because we all struggle in different ways with sin. That's fine. It's if I say that because I need that, I think that's helpful for me. You all need to be the same way. And if you're not, you're not walking with the Lord. Got to be so careful. And 1 Corinthians 4:6. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. Isn't that true? Don't exceed what is written. Don't exceed what is written. You know, some areas where this can happen, as it relates to alcohol. Okay? As it relates to alcohol. You guys, I can tell you absolutely the Bible says drunkenness is forbidden. But I cannot tell you that it's sinful for you to have a drink. Now, for some people it would be because of patterns of life and complications that they've had. But I can't just say it's sinful to have a drink of alcohol. I remember one mama, you guys, this is from a long time ago, okay, and not in this church. One mama said to me, yeah, but I mean, I know that, but the fact that so many people get into trouble and more are going to get in trouble, you just need to tell them that God says no. He's like, I don't think I'm telling God what to say. It's a bad idea. Now, it's no for people underage. I mean, I think there's appropriate places for it to be no. But you guys, who am I to dictate back to God the way things need to be? I need to be careful. another one of those places that people can get in trouble is in a home school. It is fine to homeschool if that's what God has for you. The Bible doesn't say that homeschool is the godly way or the only way Christians ought to raise their kids. It doesn't say it. It doesn't say it. But you guys, we can get so passionate about the choices that we make that we can impose them on everybody and then see people as kind of more righteous and less righteous. Although when Tom's done with these next few weeks of messages, we're going to all feel, okay, the way we should apart from Christ. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. You guys, in counseling, if you lose credibility when you exaggerate or redefine God's standards. You lose credibility when you exaggerate or redefine God's standards. Okay. Oh, sin is irrational. Amen? Sin is irrational. And the more you get involved in patterns of sin, the more irrational you can become. You know, King Saul in the Old Testament, how irrational did he get? He tried to pin his son with a spear. You know, he's trying to kill David, who is like his leading man out there in the army. You guys, the man just becomes increasingly irrational. How about the nation of Israel? Okay, how long from the time they're in Egypt, and Egypt is a happy place? No, it's awful. And they leave there, and God delivers through incredible a series of events. Now, I'm sure that they didn't really prefer the plagues. They would have preferred, like, the instantaneous release. Okay, but God gave a series of plagues, delivers them, and they don't get very far. And what do they look back and see? Egypt coming. And what's in front of them? They got water. And what did they say? Ah, you just brought us out here to die. It was better back in Egypt, you know. Isn't that, you guys, we're awful. Sin is irrational. And you guys, as it continues on, you know, we want food and we want different food and where's the water? And God provides the water. Where's the water again? God provides the water. You know, you guys, it goes on and on, and the grumbling and complaining and immorality, sin is irrational. We'll look at that when we get to 1 Corinthians 10, because we'll deal with the verse 13. No temptation has taken you, but such is common to man. Well, you need to read the verses before that. Pretty enlightening. How about Judas? Walked with Jesus. Walked with Jesus. The betrayer. He was the betrayer. Well, how about, let's bring it back to maybe kind of a... I mean, I know people who have had solid biblical standards on divorce until they had marriage problems, and then they completely redefine what the Bible says. That's irrational. I mean, you guys, can you imagine this? Somebody coming into my office intoxicated, and I ask, so when's the last time you had a drink? Well, I hadn't had any since the last time we met. It's like, if you go get in your car right now, I'm going to call the police. I mean, is that irrational? That's irrational. Okay, how about if you have children? We're going to come back down to the basics here. You have kids. And you guys, truly, because I've got grandkids. We've got grandkids. And I mean, we sit there and we're over to just enjoy a Sunday meal. And it's like you have to eat one spoon and you're done. One spoon. I mean, really, how many spankings does it require? I mean, is that truly, it's like, you know, this has been kind of a less than pleasant lunch. It's, I mean, isn't it amazing? You think about it and then consider your own heart. You guys, consider your own heart. We're a mess. Thankful for God's grace. Church discipline is essential. I know I need to finish up here. So how about, I'm going to finish on church discipline. There's a note to end on. You're probably familiar with the passage in Matthew 18, 15 to 17. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. You guys, there's so many reasons that church discipline is essential. I mean, if I'm counseling some lady and her husband is just living, he's coming to church, acting like a Christian here, but he is living in a clear pattern of willful sin. If there's nothing that we can do about that, it's just like, well, I'm sorry. And I can't tell you the ladies that have been in other churches and they come in and they're ready for the divorce. All I want is a divorce. And I say, listen, we will, I'm telling you, we'll get involved. We'll go to him, we'll find him, we'll track him down, we'll confront him on his sin because it's a biblical responsibility. We'll beg him to repent and walk with Christ. So I've gone to other churches, I go in for counsel, they call him in, they counsel one or two times, and then it's all done and we're right back in the mess. Why? Because they don't practice church discipline. So then what do? Then what? You just leave this lady in the miserable situation without recourse or help? Church discipline is essential. You guys, how about the church that just, you all come, and it really doesn't matter how you're living or if you're living with whoever or whatever, we're just going to be okay with that? I mean, how many of those people are going to go to hell? Because nobody would tell them the truth. And maybe they think they're a Christian because there was a day that they asked Jesus into their heart. But you guys, I mean, I've talked to people truly that from the time they were young teenagers, they lived in a pattern of absolutely gross sin until the time 20 or 30 years later they come into my office and they're saying, I say, are you a Christian? After they tell me a sordid story. Well, yeah, I asked Jesus in my heart when I was 8 years old. And I said, well, I can't say for sure if you are or not. But I can say, if I was you, I'd be really concerned. And let me explain to you why. You guys, if you can't go down that road, then you're just kind of happily going down the road, and people are going to hell around you because nobody wants to confront. And you guys, this confronting is not intended to be hard or harsh or mean. And I don't know if you've done it, because I tell you, I have, and it's not my choice job. But to go to somebody in tears begging them, please don't. We'll do whatever we can to help you. And some walk off, but you guys, we've even seen people that have been put on church discipline that have come back and repented and been restored. And so church discipline in the life of the church is an act of love. Understand that. God didn't put that in there, one, to make us all uncomfortable and to mess people's lives up. He put it in there because it's a way to truly love people who are going through extraordinarily difficult times. Begging them to be restored in the relationship to Christ. Or ultimately, at the end, what is it? You put them out of the church. Why? So that they would understand that best we can tell by the way you're living, you're not in Christ. So they can't just live with that, I think I'm going to be okay. And so it's important. It's an act of love and it's an act of care. So next time, I'm going to finish. But next time, we'll start with, I'm just going to get into a couple issues on accountability, the benefit, and sometimes the deceit of accountability. And then we'll begin to work towards the pattern of biblical change. Hope it's been helpful. Let me just close our time in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time. Thank you for your grace extended to us. Thank you for the church. I'm so grateful for the love and the fellowship, the privilege to corporately worship together. Lord, might you give us wisdom in our own lives to properly apply your word. Might you give us wisdom to be a blessing and encouragement to others as we want to help them to walk with Christ, walk with you as well. We do thank you again for your great love and care. In Christ's name, amen.